Subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke. Unless and until you know history, we're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And there's some good news in the Supreme Court race. April 4, 4 weeks from yesterday, 3 weeks from this coming Tuesday, Janet Protasiewicz, very highly regarded judge and former prosecutor, was in the Milwaukee County DA's office as an assistant prosecutor for more than 20 years. One of the best, prosecuted the toughest crimes, murder, sexual assault, gang violence, witness tampering, all of it. According to a poll from her campaign that the Culley people have not denied, she's 10 points ahead. So right now, if it were held as 55-45, she would win. It also shows something very interesting. She picks up the vast majority of independents. And why is that? Because you may remember that in the primary, Kelly and Doro were both in it, both conservatives, Doro in Waukesha County, Kelly at large, looking for work, beaten in the 2020 election, where he'd been appointed by Walker for a brief period of time. And Doro looked like she had a good shot. Well, Kelly's people, this E-line out of Illinois, pumped money in, and Kelly edged her out. Kelly, before that, had said, I won't endorse her if she wins. He said that about a fellow Republican. When Doro lost, she said, I endorse Kelly. She hasn't done anything to support him. Nothing, nada. She hasn't campaigned for him. I doubt she'll vote for him, quite frankly. Janet Protasiewicz has raised far more than Kelly. She has put in several million dollars that she's raised into advertising. Kelly, so far, you've had outside people have put in a couple of million bucks, but his fundraising is anemic. And even with outside fundraising expenditures, Protasiewicz is way ahead of Kelly. That's an indication of people being fed up, frankly, with the Republican Party, and more importantly, fed up with Dan Kelly. So you can't rest on your laurels. It's 4 weeks from yesterday, 3 weeks from this coming Tuesday. Make a plan to vote. Do it absentee by mail. If you don't do that, you'll be able to vote in person absentee a couple of weeks before the election, you know, and probably 2 weeks before April 4. Go in and do it. I do it that way. I like it. I like going to a voting machine, but I like short lines. And you go in and they're grateful to see you, the clerks, because they don't have a lot of activity, especially in a judicial election. And remember something, in April, every 4 years, the presidential primary will be on the ballot. That gets out a huge crowd, but this is not one of them. So in Milwaukee, for instance, the action is Janet Protasiewicz against Dan Kelly for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. It is Jody Habersinikin in the special election to the 8th Senate District. And then there are some judgeship and aldermanic races over here. And you have the same thing undoubtedly around the state. But get in there and vote. Get in there and vote. In the primary back in early February, the voting turnout in Dane County was 36%. That's huge in a February primary, in a judicial election, when there's nothing else on the ballot to get people's attention. Milwaukee was 26%, which is pretty good. But we got to get that up. We got to get that up in the general election. And in all of the areas around the state where you're listening to me, you outperformed in all counties, but let's get in there and vote. And then if for any reason you don't do it absentee, election day, April 4th, make a plan. If you need childcare, if you need time to get off of work, whatever it is, you go from 7 in the morning to 8 at night, and let's make sure we all vote. The most important election, certainly on the ballot now, if Janet Protasiewicz gets in, that'll be the end of gerrymandering. If Dan Kelly gets in, there'll be gerrymandering for 10 more years. If Janet Protasiewicz gets in, whoever wins the 2024 presidential election will get certified, whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, regardless of who she voted for. Dan Kelly gets in, he would only certify a Republican winner, even if it was fraudulent. And with regard to the 1849 statute regulating abortion, the time when the legislature, women couldn't vote for the legislators that passed it, and based on the science of the early 19th century, Kelly, in my view, is running a kind of crazy campaign. His two main issues are that he will support the Wisconsin Constitution. Well, duh. So do I. So does Janet Protasiewicz and everyone else. What part of the Wisconsin Constitution do you think is at issue here? Well, I don't know, but I'll support it, he says. Okay, you support it. And, you know, this other business when he talks about things like vaccine mandates and all that, that is really, really passe. It really is passe. Come on. At least make it interesting, but make sure you get out and vote. I'll tell you, there's some issues today we got to talk about, and I'll tell you one of the worst. Remember that Tucker Carlson got released from Kevin McCarthy, 40,000 plus hours of testimony, and then he is cherry picking them, and he's going through them going, well, these are just two fellows walking through a hallway. Yeah, it's in some area of the Capitol that they weren't doing all the violence. Well, yesterday, Moscow Mitch, although he was chicken about it, he came out and blasted Tucker, calling it a mistake, which is, I think, pretty weak. But then he says, and Moscow Mitch said he agreed with the letter from the Capitol Police Chief criticizing what Tucker Carlson had done. Okay, that's great. Then next, McCarthy, many people don't remember what McCarthy said right after January 6th. Right after January 6th, McCarthy said Trump bore responsibility, and he floated the idea of a censure resolution against Trump. McCarthy, right after January 6th, said what Trump did was un-American. He said it was the worst day of his career in the House. And now he's what? Jeopardizing security in the Capitol by releasing this video, so that the commie Ruskies can see it, the Chaikoms can see it, ISIS can see it, the Iranians can see it. Senator Kramer, North Dakota, blasted Tucker Carlson, said it was a lie. So there's some of the Republican senators who are stepping up, but many of them are afraid. They're afraid of Trump's base. They're afraid they're going to get primaried. But I gotta say this. For a guy like Kevin McCarthy, how chicken and weird is this? Kevin McCarthy, right after January 6th, got up on the House floor and gave a speech in front of everybody saying that what Trump did was, quote, un-American, end quote, quote, the worst day of his career in the House, end quote, said that Trump bore responsibility for what happened because he ginned it up. And then McCarthy proposed, they called it at the time, an historic censure resolution. I mean, McCarthy seemed to forget that Trump had already been impeached on Ukraine, and he didn't vote for it. So now it's suddenly historic. Well, it looks okay. At least he said Trump should be censured. So what happened? Well, the polls started to come out. Kevin McCarthy got wobbly. He went down to Mar-a-Lago, got down on his knees in front of Trump. And he said, I'm your slave. I mean, quite literally, that's what he was doing, whatever language he actually used. And now he's releasing this video. He has released this video to Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson's gone through it. Tucker Carlson, who lied about Dominion voting machines, said they had a secret portal in the back. He knew it was a lie because in the back room, off the record, he kept joking with the other people. God, this is insane. People like Sidney Powell are crazy. The MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell, is crazy. Giuliani's crazy. Rupert Murdoch said that he thought Trump was going mad. And then they go out and say these things about Dominion, that they have a secret portal in the back. Dominion lost a lot of business, and they're suing them for defamation. They're going to win $1.6 billion, between $1.5 and $1.6 billion. And they're very liable to get it, and they're still doing the same stuff. They're still doing the same stuff. All of these people that I've just described, Sean Hannity, Laura Ingraham, Tucker Carlson, at the time of January 6th, made private contact with some of the Trump people saying, you're going to kill your legacy. You got to call this off. And then Tucker Carlson said back then, believe it or not, quote, I hate Trump passionately. I hate him passionately. This is what he said behind the scenes at the station. I hate him passionately. And this is right after the 2020 election. He said, quote, we are very, very close to being able to ignore Trump most nights. I truly can't wait. I can't handle much more of this. That's Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson, who said there was a secret portal on the air on Dominion behind the scenes, saying that people said that were lying and crazy. He's doing the same thing right now. He's doing the same thing. He's talked to everybody behind the scenes saying he thought that all of this was crazy. He hates Trump. Can ignore him, and they're doing it again. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after.
Gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long tongue liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
.com.
Back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. The lines are lighting up, but before we go to the lines, I want to talk about this one issue. John Bolton, former national security advisor, member to Trump, he issued a warning, and it was a good warning. Remember that Trump, I talked about it yesterday, had talked about in biblical language, I am your warrior, I am your justice, I am your retribution. Well, John Bolton said, I know this guy well, and here's what he was really saying. He was really saying that he would get back at his enemies and anybody he thinks deserves to be punished. Bolton also said, knowing Trump, that that's a signal Trump will not accept defeat another time. It's a call for another insurrection. And remember one of the things that Trump said in that speech, he said, this is it. Either we win or they win, and we can't have a country if they win. That's apocalyptic. That's from John Bolton. We're going to go to the lines right now, and then I'll tell you an anecdote about John Bolton. Andy of Beaver Dam, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind, Andy?
Well, isn't it interesting, Matt, that Trump behind the scenes, the Republicans want Donald Trump to just get lost, get gone, you know. And everybody's sitting on the fence. Well, are you going to run? Are you going to run? Oh, or whatever, you know. With the exception of Nikki Haley. And here, you know, Trump's got everybody paralyzed behind the scenes with whatever's left of the Republican Party. And like you said, those statements that he made you know, it's like he's just trying to throw more wood on the fire, you know, to don't you cross me or else you're going to pay, you know. I mean, when in history have you ever seen anything like this? This goes on and on and on. It's been going on for, what is it, 7 or 8 years or whatever? It's a real quandary for anybody that calls themselves a Republican, in my mind. I just don't know.
Yeah, that's some good points. Let me respond to that before we go to the next caller. Two things. One is, I think you're absolutely right that all the leaders of the Republican Party in their heart of hearts would like to get rid of Trump because they want to run too. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of rank and file that follow this guy, and there's enough of them. It's not a majority. It's not even a huge plurality, but there's enough of them that scares these folks because they're afraid they'll get primaried if Trump says they're no good. Look what happened to Robin Voss. Robin Voss was the speaker. Now, I'll tell you, he's illegitimate, and he's a gerrymandered speaker. He had a primary opponent named Adam Steen. Adam Steen was in his 20s, had no qualifications that I or anybody could see to be in the legislature, and he only had one thing going for him. Trump endorsed him, and he said that Voss was weak on Trump. That's all Steen said. He almost won. He came very close, and that lesson is absorbed by everybody, and one of the guys at this CPAC thing, they interviewed him, Trump supporter, and said, why are you supporting Trump when he did this, he did that, you know, the classified documents, Raffensperger, the whole thing, the insurrection. The guy just chuckled and he said, I like Trump because he used the P word, everybody off. He just angers everybody and he likes that. That's the mindset. There's an anger out there, Andy, and I think that's what's going on. Next up is Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Good afternoon, Matt. My question is, at what point does Trump get sued and the Fox commentators get sued because they are at fault for ginning up the crowd for January 6th and spewing all these lies about election fraud, which in the end turned to be false. And you know, people got killed, people got hurt. So I would think at some point, even some people in the Republican Party should be held accountable for what happened there. And then also the cleanup, the taxpayer cleanup of the mess. But mostly they're at fault for ginning these people up to do what they did. So that's my question, Matt. And thank you for listening to my call.
Yeah, no, Paul, that's very good stuff. Remember a couple of things. The small fry have all been arrested, you know, 1,000 people. And many of them have been convicted and some of them getting jail time. Some of them, the oath keepers and the rest, maybe 6 to 8 years in jail. But the big boys have not been prosecuted. And that's Trump himself. That's Giuliani. That's Don Trump Jr. That's everybody who got up there and Mo Brooks, those are all people that got up and egged on the crowd. So the small fry are going to jail. The big boys are not. That's just plain wrong. Now, who can prosecute these people? Well, Fannie Willis is the only one that's stepping up to the plate. She's terrific. And now the Georgia legislature, gerrymandered illegitimate, passed laws that said that they can yank her. And they're conspiring to yank her so that she can't proceed with a grand jury. That's what's going on down there. Garland could indict him, and all he does, he appointed a special prosecutor who will then take more evidence, and the witnesses that came out of some of those interviews said they didn't get the feeling that there's a lot of passion there, that somehow he's just doing a report of some sort. That's what they said. You know, Garland could prosecute the fake electors, and so could the state attorneys general, but none of them have. The one in Michigan is looking at it. Fannie Willis, it has her eyes set on the fake electors. And Fannie Willis, one of them is a guy named Jones, who's lieutenant governor. He was one of the sponsors of the bill that they could yank her. That's crooked stuff. That's Russian stuff, Belarusian stuff. It really is. That's not American stuff. And so there you have it. I mean, when is somebody going to sue them? The $1.5 billion defamation that's against Fox News should put a crimp in their style, but that's not Trump. And he is being sued by the Capitol Police, who were injured, We'll see how that turns out. But you're absolutely right. Small fry got nabbed, the bad small fry, but not the guys that ginned it up. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. You know, and before we go on to the next segment, I want to raise something that actually Gina Beauclair raised the other day. It's a good point. Sometimes the news sounds so down that it makes people feel down and they don't want to listen to it and that kind of thing. The purpose of especially this station, Civic Media, is to put out factual and historical information that you've got to know. I am personally very optimistic about the United States. I'm a Navy veteran. I remember growing up seeing the greatness of this country. And quite frankly, we're going to get through this. Trump is a criminal, should be indicted. He may not be indicted. May run for president. Not going to win. I think Joe Biden will win, but whatever happens, we will get through this. The whole purpose of these broadcasts is to give you the nuts and bolts of history in the making. History is being made every minute. Whether you're asleep or awake, it's being made, and you deserve to know what it is. You know what the obstacles are. You know what the opportunities are. You know what the challenges are, and we will get through this together. I'm very optimistic, very, very optimistic. Talk to you also, you know, no party is sort of monodimensionally evil or good. There are good Republican leaders. I've talked about some of them before. So relax. This is informational, not intended to get anybody down, but this way you know all of the facts. Okay. Actually, it looks like Gina Beauclair is on the line. Thanks for calling, Gene. What's in your mind today?
Sir, you know, I'm a big fan of yours, but I guess I may not have explained myself very well because your show and Civic Media empower people. What I was talking about is what was going on Fox, you know, to see that going on and nothing being done about it. And the people are getting woke, but, and then through your station and others, they learn what they can do. So I'm sorry that that impression came apart, but I do have one thing to say, and that is thank you so much for updating us on Judge Janet and the positives. But I just want to let you know, I guess, you know, the other side heard she was doing well. We started to get some really dirty, rotten ads today. I saw on The View, and I was sickened because now they're showing perpetrators that she let off, which is even more detailed and disgusting than what they had put on before. And that's the first one I've noticed this morning. So thank you, Matt, and keep up the great work. And you know what's really great, too, is all of your callers. All of your callers who care about our country, and you guys all care. So keep up the great work. That is hopeful. What's great going on the regular television set is sad. So thank you, Matt.
That's a great call, Gene. Thank you very much. And I think that that is some terrific word. And let me say one thing about Judge Janet in response to what Gene just said. The Republicans have 4 weeks to go. And now they are going to unload ads. They've already unloaded it somewhat. And Gene was alluding, they said that she let people off. That's what they say. Let me tell you the real facts. Let me give you an example. Judge Janet has put on an ad that is truthful that said that Kelly had represented these people who had molested kids, and she showed some of the details, and it was absolutely accurate. he's coming back and going through all of the cases. And let me give you one example. He'll say that somebody was given a shorter jail sentence than he would have said he would. Who knows what he would have done? He's never sentenced anybody to jail in his life. She's done this for something like 26 years. But what do you do in some cases where you have, say, a 17-year-old high school student with a 16-year-old girlfriend, and are you going to and they're both in love, and you and what? You're going to send him away to, or her to, prison for 20 years. Look through what Kelly says, and it's not really Kelly. It is these billionaire donors from out of state. Look through it very, very carefully. Much of what they put on as this background and letting off is false. If you looked at the cases themselves, you would understand. So right now, what you have is a desperate Kelly, an absolutely desperate Kelly. And what he's doing is, and as his donors really doing it, trying to slime Janet Protasiewicz. Remember, they would have slimed Everett Mitchell. They slime Mandela Barnes, and they throw slime. They lie. Keep that in mind. Keep that in mind, that how they gin up a case that they said that they would have given a longer prison sentence. She actually has a reputation of giving longer prison sentences than most prosecutors. So if you're going to pick apart her career, going in 26 years as a prosecutor and, what, 8 years as a judge or more, go ahead. But get it right. And they do not get it right. She's a tough prosecutor, a tough sentencer. And whenever these clowns put something on, they are simply trying to move Kelly in by lying. And then what they'll do is you'll have gerrymandering for 10 more years. So every time, whenever I see a negative ad against any candidate, and usually against a Democratic candidate, I think, who's paying for that? Who's paying for that? And the minute you know who's paying for it, you know why they are lying. Thanks for calling, Gene. Now, let me get to what is, I think, that one of the most important issue right now, certainly over the next 6 months, and that is the debt limit, and that is making sure we pay our bills. Joe Biden just came out with a terrific proposal to preserve Medicare without cutting benefits. He is proposing that people who make more than $400,000 a year, more than $400,000 a year, will their Medicare tax will increase from 3.8 to 5%. And this is on income. This is on earned income, and this is on unearned income, earned and unearned, only over 400 grand. Now, when you think of the benefit of Medicare to these people and to everyone else, remember something. In 1965, when Medicare was enacted, the wealthiest 1% had five times the wealth of the bottom 50%. That's it, five times. Right now, there are a handful of people in the world, well, actually, in all but one in the United States, handful, who have more wealth than the bottom 50%. We have had very severe income inequality. And what Joe Biden is doing is saying, look, we have a Medicare tax that starts at $1, and the small fry and everybody else in the middle class are paying it 3.8%. So that's fine, but over 400 grand earned and unearned income, it'll be 5%. That will keep Medicare solvent beyond the year 2050. And then a new administration could look at it. What does Kevin McCarthy do? Kevin McCarthy initially said, we're going to cut Medicare, or we're going to voucherize it and privatize Social Security. He got a lot of criticism for that. He knew that was a loser, so he said, we won't do that, but we're also not going to increase the debt limit until we cut expenditures. Okay, cut expenditures. Has he, Biden said, all right, which ones? He said, I'm not going to tell you. Now we've just discovered that behind the scenes, what the Republicans are doing is their intent is to default. Their intent is to default because there's about a dozen right-wing nuts, Gates, Bobbert, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Paul Gosar, you name them, who will not under any circumstances vote to increase the limit. And if McCarthy does, they will call a vote on the speaker himself. And he's caving in, just like he caved in by giving Tucker Carlson the videos jeopardizing the security of the Capitol after he said right after the insurrection that Trump bore responsibility and he wanted to censure him. That's what he's doing. And they are now talking in the Republican Party about prioritizing debt. What does that mean? Once you default, you have some money. So which bills do you pay? You know, if you're a regular person, you know, do you pay the utilities bill, the phone bill, the grocery bill, the landlord? This is the United States we're talking about. This is not a household. And the clown McCarthy is talking about prioritizing debt. Janet Yellen, Secretary of the Treasury, and other experts in the government said, if we default, and that means just not paying one bill, it will have catastrophic consequences. You can't, as a government, prioritize debt. What they're trying to decide is, do we suspend or cut Social Security payments? Do we not pay bonds when they come due that we've already issued for expenditures that we've already authorized? Do we not pay some people in the federal government? Last time they did this, they didn't pay the FBI or the Coast Guard for a couple of months. Do we not pay secretaries in the Capitol? Do we stop money for the Pentagon? Or do we nibble away, just cut Social Security a little bit, just cut the Pentagon a little bit, stop construction of ships and tanks and ammunition? This is, I can't tell you how dangerous this is. I do not recall a time in U.S. history where there were people who were so treacherous, treasonous to our government. The exception would be 1861, when they fired on Fort Sumter and they started the Civil War. And then it went way beyond that. And that was one of the epical events in our history. But what is the purpose of doing this? The purpose of doing this is to save McCarthy's speakership from people who are traitors to the United States, Gates, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Bobbert, and the rest. Is that the reason? Is the reason to bring down Joe Biden? Because he will be the president at a time and the first default in the history of the United States. Is that the purpose? Is that the purpose? These are unworthy purposes. Now, there are two things that can be done. One of them is you could have six members of the Republican Party support a discharge petition, and all 212 or 13 Democrats would get behind it. And then despite McCarthy, you know, McCarthy has the power not to let something even come to a vote. Then it would have to come to a vote. The six Republicans in Pennsylvania, New York, and California, I know who they are, and they know who they are, because if they did this, they're not going to get reelected themselves. And it will be raised. That's one way. But what if these six chicken out? What if they miscalculate and think, well, I don't want to be primaried by Trump, and I think that's worse than taking my chances in a general election? That would, by the way, would be a mistake politically. But if they did that, then what? The 14th Amendment, it's our Constitution, says that the full faith and credit of the United States shall not be called into question. Period. Doesn't make any exceptions. Actually, it mentions pensions, among other things. Joe Biden has got to order Janet Yellen and the Federal Reserve to increase the debt limit, which they can do, and then just issue payment to all bondholders, all Social Security recipients, Armed Forces salaries, the Defense Department. We've already passed the budget, $790 billion. Why are we arguing about this? If the Supreme Court, the six tarantulas, and if McCarthy tries to bring an action to stop it, I frankly would arrest them. And I would take them to Guantanamo and keep them there until they agreed to stop making the United States default on its debt. We're going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
And the flames went higher, and it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire, the ring of fire. And it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Dressed so fine, threw the bumps of dime in your prime. Then you
people call. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, the lines are alive. I'll go to you in a second, but I want to get to this one issue. Zelensky of Ukraine just invited Kevin McCarthy to come, the way Moscow Mitch had come and Schumer and everybody had come, to take a look at how American military aid is being spent. And Kevin McCarthy, under pressure from the treason wing of the Republican Party, which is Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, etc., said, I will not come. There will be no blank checks for Ukraine. He is starting to knuckle under them on stabbing Ukraine. They're all pro-Putin. As you know, Tucker Carlson is pro-Putin. The Russian savages continue to commit genocide and to commit acts of sadism in Ukraine. Zelensky and the Ukrainians have been standing up magnificently. We cannot have a circumstance where the House, because they're being held hostage by the treason wing, tries to cut off any aid over there. At some point, if there's not a discharge petition, by a couple of Republican lawmakers to get that out, there's going to have to be harsh action taken by Biden as an executive order. We're going to the lines. Brian of Wisconsin Dells, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Brian?
Hey, I wanted to talk about the judge you were talking about a little bit and the misleading ads, as you described them. It seems to me like you're misleading people, because they're not talking about 17 and 16-year-old girls or a boy and a girl and sending them away for 20 years. I mean, this judge has let people off that molested little girls, adults molesting little girls.
That is false, Brian. When you call into this show, you call in with factual information, and you don't shoot your mouth off with things that are false. Go to the next one. Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Dick?
Man, I know this can't be done, but how much did the Trump administration add to the debt in just 4 years' time?
Right, $7 trillion.
And a percentage
administrations have added, hold on, Republican administrations have added more to the debt than Democratic administrations. Remember that Bill Clinton balanced the budget in the year 1999-2000. He was criticized by the Wall Street Journal for doing it, saying a little debt is good. These people are critical. Is a soft word for them. Go ahead.
Well, here's where I was going to go with it. I know this would be a pittance in the amount of money, but one thing that added to it greatly was that Paul Ryan and the Republicans' great tax giveaway to corporate in the first year of Trump's administration. How about we go to every single member of Congress in the House and Senate, and anyone who voted for it, we garnish a percentage from your check on that amount. And nothing money-wise, but it might convey to them just what you did to the country and to the average taxpayer in this country.
No, look, I like all of that. Here's the thing, Dick. We are in the middle
right
now.
But I know it can't be done.
Yeah, no, it can be done. But thanks for calling, Dick. We're in the middle of that. But here's the real issue, and here's the important issue. The important issue is the debt limit. We've gone over the deadline. If it is not raised by, I think it's June 1st, what's going to happen is that we are going to have to shut down parts of the government. They've done this before. Now, McCarthy in the background is lying. What he's saying is publicly, okay, I made a mistake. I said that we were going to cut Social Security and Medicare. No, we're not. No, we're not. Never, never, never. And Biden goes to him and says, okay, you don't want to do that. And you don't want to cut defense, and neither do I. What do you want to cut? I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you. You have to tell me. You have to tell me. You have to tell me. This is what the treason wing of the Republican Party is doing. So Biden's very, very upfront. He says, okay, what we're going to do on incomes of over earned and unearned income of over 400 grand a year, we are going to increase the tax from 3.8 to 5% for Medicare. Okay, that will keep us solvent to the year 2050 and beyond. Okay, when Medicare was passed in 1965, the top 1% had five times the wealth of the bottom 50%. Now, I think it's four or five multi-billionaires have as much wealth as the bottom 50%. So something's got to be done. And what he is saying is, let's save Medicare. McCarthy's going, well, you got to cut something. You want me to cut Medicare, McCarthy? No, 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 I don't want you to cut Medicare. I did want you to cut Medicare, and secretly I'm talking about voucherizing it, but publicly I'm not telling you I'm going to cut Medicare. Okay, what are you going to do? What I am telling you is that they have decided in the Republican Party to default. This is all a scam. They're saying that they are going somehow to... we're just negotiating, negotiating on what gets cut. They're not. They're talking about prioritizing debt. They're meeting on this. And they're arguing about, should we cut defense? Should we cut salaries? What branches? We don't like the FBI. We won't pay them again because the last time we didn't pay them. The Coast Guard, maybe we can get away with cutting the Coast Guard last time because if you cut the Marines, people know about that. The Coast Guard, they're not so sure. Do we dare cut some Social Security benefits? Or can we send them a voucher? Can we send them an IOU and say, we are going to pay you, just not now? Listen, well over half the people in this country depend on Social Security in all in part for their income in their old age. In West Virginia, it's over 60%. If you suspend a payment or cut it in half, their folks are going to get evicted. They're going to be folks that miss a lot of meals. For old people, this isn't a good idea. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? So McCarthy can stay speaker because he's afraid of what, Trump, and he's afraid of Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar and Lauren Boebert and Mo Brooks and Andy Biggs. And, you know, is this what it's come down to? And the clowns in the Republican Party won't do a discharge petition, even six of them. There are four Republicans that got elected in New York State, and they're vulnerable. They got to come with a discharge petition. And so do the people in California and Pennsylvania. Coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great call as always. Thanks for calling in. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.